3-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde, Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher, live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue. This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance on 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
Thursday edition. The Riley, what are you doing here? Edition. We'll explain that momentarily because it is also the 26th annual Tellurian Celebrity Golf Tournament at Trapper's Turn in Wisconsin Dells. Edition. At which Jesse Nelson and Mark Tauscher are in attendance. Edition. Of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker. No streaming video today. So for those of you that love the video, and we appreciate your loyalty, thank you for your viewing. No video today with the boys on.
I even dressed up, too.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, send pictures.
I will.
But still on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Riley, do I say your name? Yauk?
Soft J, it has to be.
Yeah, that is correct. Yauk. Yeah. Like a Y.
It's got to be a soft J.
Yeah. Yawking. Like Robin Yount, but exactly. Yauk. Is our cousin son of the day for Jesse, even though Jesse's actually on the show, which Lord knows we have plenty of times where we have a cousin sub for him where he's not on the show. But he is alongside the Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher at Trapper's Turn. Good morning, boys. How are you?
It's loud in here. Buzzing activity. I think the tee is at 10 o'clock. So it's we've been out here, I think, every year we've done the show. The golf courses have changed when it comes to Tellurian, but we're out here again for, I think, the sixth? Or is this now? Yeah, sixth time, because we're not quite 7 years into the show yet. So here we are. It's interesting. So I just was talking with Lynn Dickey. I think Don Makowski is going to join us a little bit later. So he's out here. We got a bunch of celebs. I'm sure Frankie will be out here. But do you think, I'm not even going to go down this road, do you think Jordan Love's career will be better than Lynn and Don McCuskey?
Oh, jeez.
We're not there.
You want to.
I do. I do. That's just how my mind works, is doing this show for as long as we can. But I have to ask, because I got into Scals has been very confrontational with me lately.
Uh-oh.
And yesterday I joined him in Brust like I always do, and, you know, Joshy continues to try to put me at different times that I don't want to go on. I got baseball. I got all this, but whatever. Not gonna fight with my boy Joshy.
Sounds like you are.
But I get on there, and he immediately is like, who's under more pressure, Rodgers or Jordan Love? And I said, it's not even a question. It's Aaron Rodgers. And you would have thought I said the dumbest thing on earth. How is there any way that that's not the case? Aaron Rodgers, just listen to him on Shine on Sports, and he... I mean, you talk about loving up on a quarterback. You might have been a toady back in the day, Jason.
Some might say.
Shine. Wow. Well, what's your favorite Taylor Swift song? I mean, it was a love fest. It was beautiful. But can anyone argue that it's not Aaron Rodgers that's under more pressure? Jordan Love doesn't have a ton of pressure right now. Am I crazy to say that? Because Scals made it sound like I was crazy to make that statement.
All right. So, first of all, I don't want to be confrontational either. You know, that's not really my strength.
That's not you. You can't stand it, actually.
And I also don't really want to agree with you, because you agreed with me like multiple times yesterday, and I just don't think that's good for the show. But
you know what else isn't good for the show? You trying to fake something. Just be who you are. It's been very good to you being who you are.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Wasn't I? I mean, it's taking me forever to get to my point. Isn't that exactly who I am?
Good to see you.
I agree with you. Like, frankly, I don't think it's anywhere close. Like,
what am I missing? Am I missing something? Because, Jordan Love needs to do this for his financial. I said, well, that's not what this is, though. Jordan Love has already made $20 million. He obviously wants to make a lot more. But there are the expectations for Jordan are, we don't know. Nobody has him as an all-pro. Nobody has any of that. So he gets to go out and prove if he's an NFL quarterback. That's what his pressure is. Aaron Rodgers' pressure is if he doesn't play at a high level, he's good. And I guess Scalzo's point was, well, he still can retire. He can be an all-time great. But this is a big year for him, legacy-wise, everything else. I just have a hard time understanding. I must be – I always like it when people point out any blind spots I have.
Uh-huh.
Point it out to me. I want to know. I don't know. So, Jesse, Jason obviously doesn't feel that way. Am I crazy to think that? Or is this something Scals is just pushing because he is – I don't know.
No, Aaron Rodgers has more pressure on him in 2023. It's easy. There's Super Bowl expectations. It's if you want to talk Super Bowl or bust, that's what it is for the New York Jets with Aaron Rodgers. He's there so that they can be elevated to win a Super Bowl. Jordan Love is getting a shot, and he's probably going to get 2 years to prove himself. And if not, then he's out of the league and whatever. But – this specific season, I'm on Team Tosh.
Okay.
The pressure is on Aaron Rodgers to win a championship in New York.
Yeah, So, you know what? I thought that this topic was going to be, I was just, maybe I missed something. I don't think I missed anything. And there's pressure. I was trying to tell those guys, there's pressure being an NFL football player. There's always pressure. But as I said, after the Aaron Rodgers trade, Jordan Love is in a great spot. He has 2 years to figure it out. He's going to, there's not going to be, if something goes haywire, people aren't going to be freaking out. That's the time and the part that just doesn't make any sense to me. But there is pressure on Jordan Love. I don't want to act like there isn't anything because you're the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers and you're taking over for Aaron Rodgers. But if this team is 500 or right around there, which is what I think everybody is kind of expecting, that's where it's at. The expectations just aren't anywhere in the near ballpark that Aaron Rodgers has out in New York.
All right, so there's a couple of things at work here, right? First of all, this stems from something that Dan Orlovsky said yesterday on Get Up, which you guys know how I feel about him.
You don't like Dan still because he doesn't come on the show?
I don't like him because if you have people that are giving you opportunities and are nice to you when you're a nobody, then when you become a somebody, you should still remember the people that were there for you when you were a nobody.
Okay.
That would be my belief. So he is more than welcome. I don't want him on the show anymore. But if he apologizes, I'd be willing to take
him. What a baby. First off, we'll take him anytime he wants to come.
No. You were on my team on this. What are you doing over there?
No, I never was on your
team.
Yeah,
you were.
Holding a grudge to that degree? No, that's not me. What are you talking about?
No, you were.
I'm not going to argue with you. Not arguing, Dave.
I remember very clearly that you joined my team on that. But be that as it may, that is where this conversation started. Now, there's a couple things that are important to note here beyond that, and we'll hear what Dan had to say coming up. But one, no one is saying that Jordan Love is not under pressure here. He has to prove himself as an NFL quarterback. Yes, he has a financial stake in this. Yes, he has, as Jesse pointed out, I think he's got 2 years to prove himself. But if he is star-spangled awful this year, he may not have that second year. So he has some pressure. There's no doubt. But what was the argument that Rodgers is under less pressure
financial
than Love?
It's all financial. The fact that Aaron's made all that money and Jordan hasn't. That was the only argument that Scalzo made that made any sense at all.
It's also legacy that Aaron Rodgers has already cemented himself as a top 10 quarterback in NFL history, and Jordan Love is competing for a spot in the league. Like, his career is on the line. Aaron Rodgers has already defined that his career is set. He's a Hall of Famer.
But but a long-suffering organization that, as Rogers pointed out during his appearance on Shine on Sports on Mad Dog Radio, which we'll also hear a clip from that a little bit later, they haven't even been to the playoffs in 12 years. You talk about that drought that the Packers have since not winning the Super Bowl since Super Bowl 45 at the end of the 2010 season when Tausch was still on the roster? The Jets haven't even been to the playoffs since then. They haven't been to the Super Bowl since Broadway Joe in 1969. They have brought Aaron Rodgers and pinned all their hopes and dreams. Talk about dreaming fearlessly and not insuring carefully at all. They've insured with Tim Boyle and Zach Wilson. Like, all of their dreams are put upon number eight's, still got to get used to that, shoulders. That's a colossal amount of pressure on Aaron Rodgers. You don't think he feels that?
That's the, no, of course he does. And, of course, I think when you look at it, Jordan feels that too. But it's just different. And that's the part that was interesting to me is that I had a hard time understanding it. I was right, so that's why I had a hard time understanding it. There's layers to everything in life, and I think Aaron Rodgers has put himself up on, he's been so good for so long, and then last year didn't go well. So if he plays poorly and is out, it's not the end of the world to him, but it definitely is not enhancing what he's trying to do, and he has got an entire fan base that's looking at him as a savior. The Green Bay Packers fan base is not looking at Jordan Love as a savior. They are excited, looking at him as the potential heir apparent, but nothing is written. And until he proves that, the expectations are not that high for where we're at with Jordan Love. And that's the disconnect that I think I had with Greg yesterday on his show.
Also, Aaron Rodgers has to show that last year was thumb-related, fluke-related, young people around him late-related, not a good team around him, in his opinion, late-related, right? Like, he does not, if he statistically is for the Jets what he was for the Packers last year, then everyone's going to be talking about how washed he is. That's pressure, too. Because you do not want to end your career like Kenny Stabler, as Brett Favre used to talk about, you know, schlumping out there for the New Orleans Saints, his best days well behind him, his jersey hanging off of him, not looking anything like the snake that he was when he was at his peak as a Hall of Fame player for the Raiders. So, again, maybe we'll hear a little bit of your argument coming up, but the bottom line is I personally don't see beyond financial stakes how you can make this argument.
All right, that makes me feel better. I wasn't missing something, I guess is the point. And we'll see. We'll see how that all shakes out, but and we'll get a chance. It did give me a good window into Scalzi and Bruss' opinion and the fact, you know, do we have too little of expectations for Jordan Love? That was the other thought that I had coming out of it, but I do know this. You experience different climates, and it's a little chilly out here at the Golf Hunting. We're inside, thankfully, but it's 55. I dressed like it was going to be 70.
Gorgeous out there.
It's a beautiful day.
What are you talking
about? It's a beautiful day, but it's a little chilly. And if you have wild temperature swings, that can lead to wild mood swings. So give our friend Gina Della from Pella a call today. Say goodbye to that drafty house with stunning new windows and doors. Order them up today and get 0% interest for 48 months, but hurry up. Their offer is only good through May 31st. Certain restrictions do apply. You can visit their beautiful showroom in Brookfield, or you can go online at PellaWI.com.
The great Don Majkowski, Packers Hall of Famer, a fellow Hall of Famer with Tausch, scheduled to appear a little bit later in the program. We're going to see how many former Packers quarterbacks we can get on to talk about Jordan Love and get their thoughts. I think this sounds like a great day on Wildy and Tausch, so make sure you stick around.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
We'll be right back.
reason why this debate between Tausch and Scalzo occurred in a moment. Our friend Josh DiMaggio, Big Cat, as we like to call him, who produces Scalzo and Brust each weekday, 4 to 6, on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee and 100.5 ESPN Madison, informs me via the private talk and text line the argument, which I vehemently disagree with. So he's Team Tausch too, apparently. Is because he was handpicked to replace Rodgers, a Hall of Famer, and he's picked to continue the Packers' title town legacy, there is more pressure on Jordan Love.
Yeah.
I think, Tausch, it's important to say that those are pressure points, but I don't think they're pressure points for this year because the expectations are not that he's going to be the next Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers today.
Yeah.
The hope is he'll become that.
Yeah, Homer just texted me. He said, my position is stupid, which I enjoy. 12 wow. Playing for legacy, Love for a job, a million times more pressure. All right. It's pressure if he has nothing in the bank and he is, you know, fighting to keep his career. He's made $25 million. So he wants to make 100 and something. I get it.
Well, now you're making it financial, right?
No, I'm not making it financial, but that's what Homer's doing. And I'm saying that's not the point Scalzo was making. So I think Big Cat said it, I said it, that's where we differentiate. Jordan Love is under pressure. I'm not trying to act like there isn't
right.
You're a starting quarterback and there is a lot on the line because he doesn't play well. Somebody else is going to be drafted. He's going to be out of a job. That's pressure. But from an overall NFL standpoint, no. Aaron Rodgers, the expectations, if he doesn't get it done and he fails, there are going to be people that are even more harshly critical of him. But his standing within the NFL is not changing. But if he does win, I think you can make an argument he's going to climb up that proverbial goat ladder.
No question.
At a high clip. If he can win in New York, that would change his entire dynamic of his goatness, if that makes any sense.
All right, and we want to get ready in case Don Majkowski, before he tees off, has time for us, because we always love when we get to talk to him. But I do want to play Dan Orlovsky, and I also want to say this, Tausch. You've said it a million times. When you're not a first-round pick, you have to prove over and over again that you belong in the league. When you're a first-round pick, you have to prove over and over again that you don't belong. And so if it doesn't happen for Jordan Love in Green Bay, are you telling me that another team isn't going to take him on as a reclamation project and try and have him be their starter someday and rebuild him if we can rebuild him? They're totally going to do that. He's not going to be out of the league if Mitch Trubisky just signed an extension.
Yeah.
He's getting opportunities still.
Yeah, but, I mean, as a starting quarterback and, you know, the fact that Green Bay drafted him, I understand that that's the pressure that he does have.
There is, yes.
Yeah, it's again, it's nuanced and it's degrees of, but it always comes back to expectation. And the expectations for Jordan are unknown. Nobody has any. People are saying 6 to 8 teams can win the Super Bowl. Adam Schein has the New York Jets as like one of the top 4 teams, which I think is absurd. But there is that expectation that Aaron Rodgers is going to lead the New York Jets to a world championship. I don't think anybody at this point has that same expectation. If Jordan Love shows improvement, everybody is going to be content with what he is doing in Green Bay. And is that pressure? Yeah, because that's the job. There is inherently built-in pressure on everything that you're doing. So I'm on board with mine, yours, Big Cat's, Jesse's, and I think Homer and Scals are both nuts.
All right, we'll hear your argument because I do want to hear how heated it got. But I just want to hear, some might say I'd be hate listening, but I just want to hear what Dan Orlovsky said, because he said not only did he say that he has more pressure on him than Aaron Rodgers, he says Jordan Love has more pressure on him than any quarterback in the league. Yeah, here is that clip from Get Up.
Hmm?
I know this. Aaron Rodgers, the guy that's no longer there for Jordan Love, is going to play remarkable football. And we will make that contrast comparison because both teams are talented. So Jordan Love's got to have a season. I agree the Packers should be a playoff football team. A lot of people think they're going to stink. I don't. This is a roster that is loaded with talent. Well, and Brian Gutekunst, their general manager, has got to be sitting there going, please prove that I was right in that decision.
I'm sorry. What did he say about the roster?
Loaded with talent,
oh,
Jason.
Loaded and stacked.
Loaded with talent.
I heard that before.
I have as well.
It didn't go well the first time.
I mean, is he a serious person?
Listen, I'm not gonna defend everything Dan said there. But what I will say is, you have 8 first round picks on defense.
Right, and he had 7 last year.
You have a first round. Yeah, and last year sucked. It was a complete disappointment. So you can't. The expectations last year were Super Bowl or bust. Now that you have a new young quarterback that, by the way, is a first round pick, and Christian Watson, who, by the way, was being compared to Randy Moss last year because of his stats. And by the way, you have the two highest. You have a very high paid left tackle, a very high paid left guard. You have one of the highest paid running backs. To act like this team is devoid of talent is foolish.
No one's saying that.
Yeah, well, loaded is talent. But what you're not understanding is it's young. You have to learn. This isn't a you drop in. This isn't like some finished product. You have to understand that you have all this youth. And it is a ton of talent. I'm not doing the loaded thing again. I'm not going down that
Please
road.
Please don't.
But talent-wise, when you have that many first-round picks and you have that, it's unproven. But yes, there is a ton of talent. And why we're even thinking about it, normally if you say, oh, we're throwing a first-year quarterback in, they're going to stink. Some people think that. I don't. I don't think they're world champion caliber, but I think they're going to grow and get better and, you know, have these young guys grow together. It's all great.
Yeah.
There is a lot of talent here.
Yep.
And I think we all get caught up in the quarterback position. I am as guilty of it as because I know sustained success in this league comes from that position. You can have a Bears year in 2018 where you double doink with Mitch Trubisky. And then you're going to have 2 years where it is struggle bus city. On the flip side of that, you have the growth, and you continue to develop, and you trust what your franchise is doing, which is what Packer fans are doing right now.
Yeah.
That's the hope.
I would just say this. Dan Orlovsky played in the league. He's not as smart as you are, frankly, but he should know better to understand the difference between talent, experienced talent, and young talent.
Yeah.
And he, in that answer at least, not so much. All right. I want to be ready for any guests at the Tellurian Golf events that make themselves available to Tausch and Jesse. So we will get to them or be ready for them coming up before they tee off. I want to remind you that the Steinhoffel's Memorial 5-day sale is starting today. And get in early and take advantage of $100 off your purchase of $1,999 or more. Plus, when you spend over $4,999, you'll get a Ninja 7-in-1 Master Grill. Perfect to complete your outdoor oasis. And speaking of outdoors, you'll save up to 25% on all patio furniture and take 15% off all their already reduced clearance center prices. Plus, with Steinhoffel's special 72-month financing, you can buy now and pay over 6 years. Steinhoffel's has something for everyone. Shop their biggest Memorial Day sale ever in-store and online at steinhoffels.com. More next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com. And the best part is I'm not sorry anymore. I made a vow to David, I'm going to trust me. I'm going to take my time, nobody can rush me. And the best part is I'm not sorry anymore. I'm going to love me, then I'm going to love me some more. I made a vow to David.
not going to lie. I got some FOMO right now.
Uh-oh.
Now, I've talked to both of these guys before, multiple times. I did a piece I'm very proud of on ESPN.com years ago about Lynn Dickey. We've done stories and talked before about Don Majkowski, but I'm not sure. This is a first for us. I'm sure two Packers greats, Packers Hall of Famers, have done joint interviews before. But if I'm understanding this correctly, Tausch,
you
have both Don Majkowski and Lynn Dickey together at
what
once?
What was funny is Frankie Winters is here, and they're both taking snaps from Frank sitting out in the deal. So I don't know who's better at getting back out of the – you know, everybody's a little banged up now as we're older, but I don't know who can get out. Probably a lot of shotgun action for both of you guys.
Have to be shotgun, especially for Lynn.
Well, if there was ever a race, I could tell you who'd win that.
Yeah. So, fellas, how, you know, can you kind of – we've been talking a lot, and I know you guys follow the Packers closely, a lot about Jordan Love and what he's in for. You guys – we're in this position at some point in your career. Can you kind of just take us inside? What are you looking for? What have you seen so far from Jordan Love? And what do you think he's feeling right now as he's taking over the franchise for the first time?
Well, obviously, I've seen him in preseason games. Haven't seen him in a couple of regular season games. And I think the kid's got plenty of talent. I understand he's a great kid. You know, he's very professional. Aaron even gave him high praises before he left. So he's got all the talent, and he's got a young cast of players around him now. I think he's going to be set up for success, and I think he's going to be great. I think it's going to be fun for Packer fans to have a new start with you know, some fresh new faces, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to watching him play, and I'm looking forward to meeting him for the first time. I haven't met him yet in person.
Kind of had a lasting memory. What was that, three years ago, maybe, when they were undefeated and came to Kansas City. And I forget why Aaron didn't play.
COVID?
Yep. Okay. So, of course, we're all looking forward to Mahomes and Aaron butting heads in that game. But he didn't play. And, of course, you know, it was our first look at Jordan Love. And I thought, oh, my gosh. The poor young man is struggling mightily. I remember those days being a rookie and thrown into the fire. It's not fun. It's not fun. But he's got tools. You know, it's one thing if, you know, Don and I were talking about the qualities that we want to see in a quarterback. And number one is, for me, is whether he's smart or not. I think he's a pretty smart kid. He's got a good arm. We know that. And he's mobile. You know, he's got all the tools. I hope they don't send him out there and say, hey, give me 35, 38 attempts a game type thing. The best thing in the world could happen to him would be an old Lombardi-type team. Pound it, run it, play great defense, and throw the ball 25 times a game.
Yeah. So
I don't think I ever lost a game when I had 25 attempts or fewer. I never lost.
Yeah,
because there were only about three games like that during your Packers career.
That's why you see most 50 throw games in a NFL career. It's Lynn Dickey. Got it. But one of the things that I'm curious about, because it's one thing, you've got a bunch of leaders on the team, Aaron Jones, but quarterback has to lead. So from your guys' perspective, when you took over a franchise, what was the most important thing? You have to be who you are, but what were the things that you guys were looking for to make sure your teammates understood about you that's important in the quarterback position?
I don't know if I really thought about that at all. I think it's got to be your personality.
Yep.
And I would guess that most of my guys thought I was a jerk, you know? Most people I meet think that. No.
Is that
yeah. But and in saying that, I mean, I'm going to demand that you know what you are supposed to do. And I studied enough that I knew everybody's job. I never wanted an offensive guard to be dinged up and I call a play and he's looking at me like with crossed eyes and like, what do I do on that? And I'm going, well, you block down with the center and, you know, remember, you come off and get the Mike Backer. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, who pays for that if somebody doesn't know their job?
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
Now we got second and 12 instead of third and five, or yeah. second and five. But, you know, your personality is going to come out. It needs to. And I hope he doesn't try to be somebody else. Just be Jordan Love.
Yeah, you can't be somebody else. Your teammates will see right through that. And I remember when I came in, you know, I came in as a rookie to Green Bay. You came in as a veteran, but my rookie year, I was real conscious of just being myself, but I wanted to make an immediate connection first and foremost with my linemen.
Yeah.
I wanted them to see me. I was in the weight room with them, doing exactly what they did, you know, working hard, just seeing I'm not demanding something from them that I wouldn't be willing to do myself. And then, you know, you earn the respect from that, from your teammates, and you develop off-the-field relationships, which were important to me, and Lynn was pretty similar. We liked going out with the offensive linemen on Thursday nights and having dinner, having some beers, and really forming those relationships. And it goes a long way.
I remember when I was a rookie. I was in a preseason game, and we had one of our wide receivers, this is with the Houston Oilers, one of our wide receivers, a guy named Jerry Levias. He was from SMU and, you know, really big time, one of the first really black, maybe the first black player in the Southwest Conference. So I call, it's an old six route, you know, tight end, the right formation, tight end crosses, the Z does the in and got a deep post on the backside. Well, he was the flanker going to do the in. Coming across the middle, and Oilers had some pretty good people. You know, we had some good talent here and there. But Jerry Levias, as soon as I call that, he looks right at me. He goes, "No, man, no, call something else." I said, "Why?" He goes, "I'm coming across the middle, a preseason game. I ain't doing that." I said, "Well, I'm going to throw it to you just for that, you know, just for being a jerk about it.
Yeah.
I hope there's three guys on you, so get ready." But, you know, you can't back down when somebody, a veteran, tries to bluff you.
Yep, call you out.
Talking with Don Majkowski and Lynn Dickey, both Packers Hall of Famers. Both were top five vote getters in AP NFL MVP balloting during their best seasons, and both have taken over.
Really? Lynn looked shocked when you just said that.
1983.
Really?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Well,
that's the year you were averaging 52 passes a game.
Yeah.
32 touchdowns that year, 29 interceptions. Different era.
With those interceptions, I was talking about this also. Bart Starr would tell me, "Hey, don't worry about throwing the picks. You know, if you don't throw four touchdowns, we don't have a prayer of winning anyway." I went, "Well, that's
interesting.
Encouraging, yeah."
At least he was honest about the defense back then. I want to ask you both this, and you both did start games as rookies, right? In 1971, Lynn, you started two games for the Oilers, and in 1987, Don, you started five games for the Packers. But Jordan Love didn't have to start games as a rookie. This is his fourth year in the NFL. And I've heard so many quarterbacks over the years talk about when things start to slow down and you're processing things quickly and it feels like the game is slower. For each of you, and we'll start with Lynn because, you know, you're older. When did that happen for you guys?
I remember that happening probably in my third year. In my third year, I think I think I only started a couple games that year.
Four.
Mm-hmm. I really would talk to our offensive coordinator and the receivers coach at that time, and really had the reads that I wanted to do. And it's one thing to read it, but boy, I wanted to read it. I wanted to know where I was going with that ball on my second step away from the center. Mm-hmm. I know right where I'm going with it. And because the coverage reacts and it tells me what to do. And then I cut the field in half, and it's like 1, 2, 3. Deep, middle, short. And I just had that down pretty good. But I did not have that down my rookie year, and your head's kind of going from side to side. I remember watching Denver, John Elway, his rookie year, and he would drop back, and his head is going from side to side, and I'm going, oh, he has no idea where he's supposed to go with that ball. And
that wasn't eye manipulation to move the safety?
No, I don't think so. You know, that would be a constant stare to one side and then come back and throw the other. But his head was going side to side. And I remember Craig Morton was his quarterback coach at the time in Denver. And I asked him about that at a golf tournament. He said, what was the head coach? Dan Reeves.
Yeah. Yep, Dan Reeves.
Dan Reeves was the coach. He said, I tried to tell him what to do and how to read, but Dan Reeves wouldn't let me. He said, just leave him alone and let him do what he wants.
Let him be him.
Which is really dumb. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll never forget. Clearly remember my rookie year, man, learning the pro offense. It took everything I had I was just happy to be in the huddle and being able to call the play properly, first of all.
Yeah.
Call the formation, get the motion correctly, get the snap count right, and know where my first primary receiver was. And that was about as much as I knew my rookie year. You know, if that first guy wasn't open, I was jetting. I was getting out of the pocket. Yeah. Luckily, I had some wheels a little bit, and I could rely on that. But didn't even look at if they were blitzing me or not, if they were rotating coverages. I was just trying to get the play out right. So just like Lynn, we had – it took about to my third year, I felt way more comfortable. And, you know, we had a new coach my second year. Lindy Infante came in and implemented that new offense, which was – it was complex. It was really difficult. It took us a whole year as a team to understand what was going on. So by my third year, the team was way more understanding what was going on, philosophies, and it made my job a lot easier. And I was way more relaxed and really finally had a good picture of what was going on in my third year. And, you know, it showed.
All right, guys, I know you guys both want to go tee off, so I have one more question that I want both of you to ask or answer. You both authored a couple of my favorite seasons in Packers history. In 83, Lynn, you and Jefferson and Lofton and Kaufman, you guys, what a great season it was offensively. Don, 89, right? You were fantastic. Those are both the years that you guys were in the AP NFL MVP voting. Don, you guys went 10-6 and missed the playoffs. Lynn, you guys went 8-8. And those are two of my favorite seasons, having grown up loving this team. What kind of pressure is Jordan Love under now? Because we know how tough times the Packers had during your eras. Not because of you guys' quarterbacking play, but for a variety of reasons. Now, three decades straight of back-to-back Hall of Famers, if you were in Jordan Love's spot, well, how would you advise him to handle the expectations that he's facing?
Wow. You know what? He's just got to be himself again and just worry, take care about himself, study as hard as he can, learn the offense as best as he can. You know, he's going to have this preseason to get under his feet. But, you know, he's got some huge shoes to fill. I mean, the last 30 years with Brett and with Aaron, I mean, that was some of the best quarterback play ever in football's history. So Packer fans have been extremely spoiled and probably took it for granted a little bit that, you know, the quarterback position was going to be playing at such a high level. And he's got a lot to live up to. So I just hope he just plays within himself, doesn't try too much. And like you said, just be himself, have his own personality, and try to win the fans just by what he does and who he is.
I would tell him, you know, as cliche as it is, hey, let's try and be 1-0. And then the second week, you know, let's be 1-0 this week. And just pretty soon, if you're good enough, those, as you y'all know, those the W's will pile up and take care of itself. But just, again, I agree completely. He's not going to fill Aaron Rodgers' shoes. And, boy, if I was Matt LaFleur, I'd tell him, don't even try to do that.
Right.
We want to concentrate on all the things you can do.
Yep.
And the W's and the L's, it'll all take care of itself. But just be you.
All right, last one before you guys go. Isn't it crazy? You can't remember what you had for lunch yesterday, but you guys can remember plays in Houston in 1971 where there's a receiver going over the middle. So what is it about us? Because I know the same thing. I can tell the Pinocchio call that we had down in Tampa with Frankie, and you know, a guard pulled that he wasn't supposed to. But if you ask me what we did, yes, I couldn't tell you. What is it about us that that's the case?
My wife says it's selective memory.
I don't know, man. I guess it's just what we were professionals at.
Yeah,
and you watch those plays so many times over and over with film review, and you know, you just know so well what happened in every game. And
is there anything that we've ever done that we love more than what we used to do?
And that's the hardest part about transitioning out, and why so many guys struggle.
Boy, you gotta pull the curtain on it as far as the physical part of it. But we all watch TV and getting in the game. Gilbert, so nice to see you, my partner. Santana, good to see you.
I guarantee we could ask these two of a play that happened in 1996, and they would know what it was. But if I asked them what they did last night, no clue.
Let's ask Santana what he remembers in 1996 between he and I. I always remember when I was playing for the Lions. Yeah, he was the line Super Bowl team.
Foul.
Man, there's a picture. He got me around the waist, dumped me on my head. Feet were up in the ceiling.
At least they protected you guys back in those days.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was great protection. There wasn't even a penalty on that play, too. But it's great to always.
So you guys are both optimistic. It's just going to be patient. Packer fans are going to have to be a little more patient than what we've been in the past.
They won't be.
No, it's the nature of the beast.
Yeah, they won't be. But you know, in a perfect world, that you can't worry about the fans. You know, just worry about Matt LaFleur talking and handling and just spoon feeding.
Yeah, you know, I'm more concerned. I'm hoping that his surrounding talent, these young receivers, really catch up mentally with what's going on, because they have so much talent. Because I think you know, our quarterback is going to be fine.
Jordan Love.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I want to say Aaron Rodgers. I'm sorry.
What happened in 1989?
I don't know, man. Let's see. What's his name? No, Jordan's going to be fine because he's already going to 50 year, right?
Yeah,
and these young guys, and especially the receivers, and you know, from Michigan State, and our young guys that we got last year. I'm really looking forward to watching Musgrave, our tight end.
Yep.
That kid's got some talent. I saw him play in college. I love him. I think it's going to add a lot to our team. So Jordan's going to have a lot of weapons. I just hope they catch up mentally and catch up with him.
And I think that's where having a veteran like a Devontae or somebody like that would have really helped. But they're all going to grow together.
We're
all going to watch. Man, we really appreciate you guys coming on and giving your insights. It's always a pleasure to catch
up with you. Awesome, Taos. Great job.
That is Don Majkowski and Lynn Dickey joining Taush at the Tellurian Golf Outing. A lot to unpack there and a lot of insight from two Packers greats. We'll do some of that unpacking next. It's Wilde and Taush.
You're listening to Wilde and Taush on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
Double-dipping that interview for a story in the Wisconsin State Journal, you don't know me very well. Thanks to both Lynn Dickey and Don Majkowski, and thanks to Taush and Jesse for wrangling them at the Tellurian Golf Outing, the 26th annual at Trapper's Turn. Taush, those guys, they played in different eras than what Favre and Rodgers and now Love are playing in. But their insights stand the test of time. They dealt with different types of football. They dealt with less protection as a quarterback than the guys today get. But a lot of the things that they dealt with, whether it was 1971 or 1987, apply to Jordan Love in 2023.
Yeah, I mean, football is always going to be football. It's changed, and it's gotten less violent, and it's gotten easier for the quarterback to play the position. But the same things still are at play. Leadership, understanding your teammates, understanding how to motivate, and making plays when the money's on the table. And I think those guys kind of let you know that experience matters. and especially at that position. We look at what Aaron did in 08. We look at what Favre did back in, what, 93, 94, and what Don and those guys said year three. You know, in year three, I was starting to figure it out. Well, Jordan Love has been here. This is going into his fourth year, but and played. And the only way you want to get yourself prepared so that you can be successful. But the only way you learn, Peyton Manning threw 28 picks his first year. Peyton Manning's one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. And now we're expecting Jordan Love to go out here and be all world right away? That's unfair to him. And that goes back to earlier in the show when I'm talking about expectations. Jordan Love's going to have flashes of really good stuff, and he's going to struggle. Because this position is the hardest position other than hitting a Major League Baseball consistently. That position is more is asked of you, and you have to be on all the time. And when you're not many guys are. You have bad days. And I thought these guys both gave you a very good look at what it's like to play this position, what is demanded of you, and how much it wears on you. And I thought that was illustrated very well by both those guys.
It sounded to me, listening to Lynn Dickey talk, that if they had had prize picks back in his playing career,
so I'll take the moron interception.
You'd have taken a moron, right? He's not just about everything.
No, prize picks, daily fantasy sports made easy, and yeah, I could only imagine back in the 80s. Those numbers, those projections would look a lot different. Hockey's going on right now. I thought about dabbling last night. Jesse got me into that. What do you guys call it? The Hot Dog Wednesday or whatever?
Yeah, Discount Dogs.
Discount Dogs. Yeah. But I'm a Friday, Tuesday guy. Those are my favorite days. You get Taco Tuesday. But you get on the projections. I'm waiting for the NBA Finals with my guy Joker. I'll go more on his projections because he's been a beast all postseason. You can go 2 to 6 players. You could pick in. And, again, it's not competing against others. You're just competing. It's Prize Picks projections. Entries are made easy, 60 seconds or less. Easy, quick withdrawals when you win. All I'm asking, go to prizepicks.com or download the Prize Picks app. And right now, you put 100 in, use that promo code WI, and you get another 100 from Prize Picks. Go to Prize Picks again. Go to prizepicks.com to get started today.
You see they got a Joker free square for game one of the finals?
I have not seen that.
Yeah.
It's still a week away. So
half a point.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely go more on that. That's a gimme.
Tausch and Jesse are live from Trapper's Turn for the Tellurian Golf Outing. We will kick off the 10 o'clock hour with them next. It's Wildy and Tausch.